You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Sam Davison filling in for Calvin, who's taking a couple very well-deserved days off. You can always join us. You can call. You can text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Just a reminder that Wisconsin is a same-day registration state. So if you missed the deadline to register online or by mail, that was yesterday, you can still register in person on Election Day with the proper ID. So go to myvote.wy.gov, myvote.wy.gov. That will have all the information you need. If you still have not registered to vote, every vote counts. In Wisconsin, the next election is probably going to come down to 15, 16, 17,000 votes. That can be just a few votes per county. Your vote makes a difference. Be a voter. Everyone who's cool is a voter. Very excited to have our next guest join us. She's a reporter with the Wisconsin State Journal, Molly Reinman. Good morning.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us. You have an article in the Wisconsin State Journal. The headline reads, "This Wisconsin County predicted the last four presidential elections. Will it do so again?" So which lucky Wisconsin county are we talking about?
Yeah, so we're talking about Sauk County. I'm based in Madison. It's about an hour from here. My co-reporter Barry and I spent a week sort of traveling back and forth up there, talking to voters, getting the sense of what was going on in what is, of course, one of Wisconsin's most consistent bellwether counties, flipping from Obama twice to Trump to Biden, and who knows what will happen come November.
So what were you hearing from folks on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, the most consistent thing I heard was that, and we talk about it a little bit in the story, but it's a county full of small towns, small businesses, and it's a county where the margins, as the county has sort of flip-flopped who they're voting for, the margins of who's winning have gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. Trump won there by just over 100 votes in 2016. So you basically have a county of small towns that's really just split down the middle in terms of who folks are voting for. And the most consistent thing I heard was that people just don't like to talk about politics. People don't want to, you know, get on the bad side of their neighbors, their doctors, their teachers, their students. So yeah, I mean, it's a place where politics are kept pretty hush hush, but among the voters we were talking to, a lot of whom were strong partisans, it was really just about getting out there, telling folks, you know, that just because they're in a small town doesn't mean their vote doesn't matter. If anything, it means their vote matters more. But yeah, we talked to a number of undecided voters too, who sort of shared that sentiment of like, does my vote matter? Do I really care about what's happening nationally? And, you know, the sentiment among the party organizers there was really just trying to rally people to believe that their vote does have an impact, sort of like what you were just saying.
I guess I understand the apathy, Molly. I can understand people feeling like they're all crooked and all politicians lie. But there are real life implications for all of us in this election, talking about reproductive freedoms, talking about IVF, talking about solving the immigration problem. There is a problem at the border. There has been a problem at the border for decades and decades and decades. And if we really want solutions, I find it interesting. I don't know what would cut through with those folks. Was there anything, if Kamala Harris or Donald Trump actually came and knocked on their door, would that make a difference?
Yeah, so I mean, the woman in our lead was an undecided voter who I just sort of encountered in a park in Baraboo, and I talked to her about politics. She was like, "I've never even thought about this. I get all the mail stuff. I kind of skim it." But her biggest thing was trust. She was sort of like, I don't really believe anything I hear. I don't know what to believe. They sort of say things and then the news outlets say different things. And then she's on social media and she hears different things. And what she told me was, I'm just going to wait till election day. And whoever I think is the most consistent and most trustworthy, that's who I'm going to vote for. But we also did talk to a number of independent voters who, most of whom were, you know, historically either, you know, super swing voters or conservative voters who were really just turned off by the former president's personality, more so than his policies. But when it did come to discussing policy issues, that was mainly a conversation that we got into with folks who were pretty firm in their partisanship. And their issues pretty much largely reflected sort of national issues, like what you were saying for, you know, Harris supporters. It was a lot about abortion, women's reproductive freedoms. For Trump supporters, it was, you know, a lot about closing the border, the economy in broad terms. When we did get into more local issues, a lot of it was for, you know, like I said, it's a community of small towns and small business owners. A number of small business owners told me either on background because they didn't want, you know, to be quoted do, like what I said, lose their customers, but sort of like they were fearful of the potential, you know, Trump proposed tariffs and how that would affect their business. But yeah, in terms of issues, it was mainly sort of in line with what we're seeing nationally, which does make sense in a bellwether county that experts say is like a microcosm of America.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Molly Reinman. She's a reporter with Wisconsin State Journal, and she has an article up called "This Wisconsin County Predicted the Last Four Presidential Elections. Will it do so again?" I want to credit your co-author here, Barry Adams, as well. And looking at Sauk County and what the concerns are, and they're pretty split down the middle, it sounds like, Molly. I also wonder, and this is something that we're going to talk about further tomorrow, women, the silent women. I saw a former Republican official, a female, saying, "I think that there are a lot of Republican women who aren't going to talk out loud about who they're going to vote for. And when they get into the voting booth, they're going to vote with their conscience, because how you vote, no one knows. We know if you vote, there's a record if you voted, but not how you voted." Were you feeling much of that when you were talking to folks, for the folks who are like, "I don't really want to talk about it. It's uncomfortable. And, you know, it's just one of those things you don't discuss. Hello, Kitty."
I think that's true nationally. And I think, like I said, it's especially true in a community that is so both small and close knit and also so divided. A lot of what folks were saying is like, families don't talk about politics. Either you guys just kind of, you know, do what you think your parents are doing, or you don't vote at all. I mean, that being said, turnout is pretty consistently high there. But yeah, I mean, I kind of spent a few days just going door to door in businesses, sort of talking to folks who are shopping, talking to folks who own businesses. And a lot of them were like, "Oh, this is not something that's very, you know, classy to talk about. This is something we keep to ourselves. I'm not going to tell you who I'm voting for." I can't say necessarily that it was along gender lines, but yeah, certainly I did get the sense that it was something that wasn't really talked about. And I talked to actually a political science professor who gave a nice quote. He was like, you know, Wisconsin is a lot of the times behind the curve when it comes to national politics. And he was like, the sort of sentiment that's come to be in the last decade, where we're very forthright in social media and with our friends and in the workplace about talking about who we're voting for and what we think, that hasn't necessarily reached a lot of Wisconsin smaller communities yet. He was like, you know, Sauk County seems like a friendlier place than most of America. So I don't know if it's necessarily about people's beliefs and, you know, wanting to keep those quiet, or if they just, you know, feel generally that talking about politics is not a very courteous thing to do. But yeah, it really, I mean, I of the folks that I spoke to and introduced myself to, it was a very, very small minority who, you know, regardless of me being with the press, would even talk about politics at all, regardless of who I was.
Well, and that's something that, you know, I'm thinking about, like, small town Wisconsin, and they must be aware that they are seen as this bellwether area, and they almost were like, "Oh, here comes it's an election year. Here comes the press to talk to us." And they almost are like, "Just don't say anything at all. Just keep it quiet. Keep it to yourself." And I think that, you know, I understand. I grew up in that house. My father was a Republican. My mother is a Democrat. We did not talk about politics. And it's that the notion though of I'm thinking about the business owners to say, I don't want to lose customers if I tell you who I support. And I don't care who they support. It just shocks me. It's sad and it's upsetting sad. Because like they should be able to say who they believe in, but they know, and we all know that comes possibly with a penalty.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really was going door to door, and a lot of folks, I mean, it was a mix. There was a lot of folks who were like, I'm not even talking about this with you, but there was a significant number of people who were like, I have really strong beliefs. I'll talk to them about you, but you can't put my name in there. You can't put the name of my store in there. Mm-hmm. I went into a clothing store owned by two women, and they sort of were of that, you know, leaning of like, we'll talk to you about what we think, but like, you really can't use our name. And they said that a shopper had come in with, you know, a Trump pamphlet of like that belonged to the shopper themselves, and the shopper left it on the counter when they left. And then, you know, throughout the day, folks were coming in and they thought that the Trump pamphlet was something that reflected the beliefs of the store owners, even though it was just sort of like something that got left there in the shuffle of things. And they got, you know, told off. Folks were like, we're not coming back here. So I think, you know, there is a lot of anxiety, and to the extent that whether it's legitimate, I know it's hard to say, but I do think the anxiety and like the fear about, you know, losing half your customers is true. And I think, again, it all goes back to the fact that this is a place where the margins are so, so tight that it does come down to who votes, you know, who's born, who's, you know, not alive anymore. It's really so up in the air and so fickle. And that was something that the experts I was talking to were saying too, is like, you know, bellwether counties are bellwether counties until they're not anymore. And what makes it bellwether county is the fact that it is so diverse and so, you know, half and half in terms of what residents believe. And so it's right until, you know, you have that tiny shift of, you know, 100, 300 votes, and then, you know, it's wrong.
And that just reinforces what we've been saying all morning and what we've been saying for months. Your vote absolutely counts. Every single vote absolutely counts when we're talking about hundreds or even 15,000 votes statewide. That makes a difference. So please talk to your friends and family and your neighbors. Make sure they register to vote. Make sure they take part in the process. Go to myvote.wy.gov. Molly Reinman, a reporter with the Wisconsin State Journal, thank you for taking some time to join us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Stay with us when we return. A little weather and wine with Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Box. Sam is in for Calvin, who's taking a couple of days off. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Catch the chair dancing if you want to. Watch on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is time for a little weather and wine with Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Just a reminder that... yes, there's a blog now.
It's fine, Jane.
I have a blog.
Welcome to the late 90s.
If 2 hours of me isn't enough and you would like more, you can find more. I have a blog. Go to civicmedia.us or walkradio, walkradio.com, and have fun. Blog away. Bring it. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow. Bring it.
Just a very aggressive invitation, by the way. If you like blogs,
well, fine.
Whatever.
But you check out the blog. Here's the thing. All right. The weather has been pretty great, Brittany.
Yeah, yeah, it has.
Can whatever weather machine you're controlling, can you continue to do that, please?
Can I crank it up a little bit too?
Sure.
Okay, deal. Because that's happening regardless.
What's going on?
So it's just crazy, right? We go from a hard freeze earlier this week to unseasonable warmth once again. I mean, we're going to be hitting highs in the mid-70s on Sunday. People at the Packers game are going to be in shorts and cheese heads. Oh, yeah. That's it.
If it was 0 degrees, they'd still be in shorts and cheese heads. It's a thing. So
there's that.
I know. But you know what I mean. Comfortably, they're going to be safe.
So how long is this little warm-up going to last?
You know, it's actually going to last into next week as well. We don't see a cool down until about Wednesday. But Wednesday kind of hits. I'm talking about like 50s there for us. So falling back again to those freezing overnights. And it's just been quite a roller coaster, hasn't it? And it doesn't stop. As I look further into October, we hit a crazy spike. Looks like October 27th kind of time frame where we could hit the 80s. End
what?
Of October.
I don't like that.
I don't either, but you know what's behind that is a quick shift to some cold. So right behind that, for Halloween, we are looking at a cold snap headed our way. Maybe some flurries and snow flying into the northern parts of the state. We're keeping an eye on that, but it is going to be cold for Halloween. Keep that in mind.
So I just turned my heat on.
So did I.
And so now next week I got to turn my heat off and then turn it back on. And then 3 days later, I got to turn it off and then turn it right back on because it's going to get really cold.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we might even be using the AC come like October 27th for just a day. It's just weird. It's wild. But that's the new normal, it feels like.
Forgive what will be a dumb question maybe because I'm not a weather enthusiast as you are, but how is that, like, just the possibility of the fact that we're going, I mean, just having such dramatic fluctuations between, you know, like yesterday I wore a hoodie to work and I had to go to a store and buy a shirt in the afternoon because it was so hot in the hoodie that I couldn't function. It's just these huge spikes, then dramatic drops. What is the, is it you just say climate change or is it an El Nino or like, tell me, Brittany.
Well, first of all, what I learned up north is layers, right? Layers, Greg, layers. So you're bundled up in the morning and then you could just...
Don't you ever tell me how to live my life, okay?
Oh, come on. It's just advice. But no, the past few years, I've seen these warm spikes really through Wisconsin and just unseasonable warmth. So yeah, I'm going to go with climate change because we're in an Enzo neutral period. We're not in an El Nino and we're not in a La Nina. So we can't point fingers at any of those right now. And this trend is just continuing. So not to mention the high fire danger and the drought and all of these things that we're going through. I really want to drive home to everyone for today, tomorrow, and even into the weekend when those winds are strong. Don't even toss your cigarette butt, okay? Because
please
just,
don't do that.
It's fuel sitting there. All of the leaves, we're at peak. We're actually past peak in portions of northern Wisconsin already. So with the winds whipping even more leaves to the ground, that's a concern.
Yeah, and maybe hold off on the outdoor fire until, you know, because really the last thing we need is more wildfires. That's not going to help anyone. While we were talking about climate change, Brittany, and I do want to ask you a serious question. You know, we did reports last week that after Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton, now there are meteorologists who are getting death threats after Marjorie Taylor Greene came out and said that the Democrats can control the weather. Are people nice to you? I hope people are nice to you.
People are very nice to me. I have not had anything like that. I think people here in Wisconsin realize, you know, and trust what I'm saying and what's going on, and they've seen the proof, they've seen the facts. So I have not gotten anything like that, thankfully, but that needs to stop. Oh my gosh, meteorologists are just conveying the message, right? We're not creating it, we're not doing anything. We don't have time for that. Let's put it that way.
And none of you are like building empires to become billionaires off of climate change. Like, that's the thing is, you know, when you talk about climate change, you're not doing it to put money in your pocket. You're just simply reporting the science to everyone to be the best informed they can be. It's not like big weather is sending you a Bentley to spread lies.
Big weather.
No, and it's interesting. So when I was getting my master's degree, they told me it is your job to communicate that climate change is real. Like, if you're seeing it, you see all the stats, you are responsible for that. And then you get into the TV world and they're like, shh, no, don't say anything. And you got to sneak it in there.
Really?
So now we're allowed to maybe talk about it a little bit more freely. So stop the threats. It's the facts.
Yeah, stop the threats. Knock it off. This is science. This is actual, like, science. Brittany Merlot is Civic Media's meteorologist, and she joins us once a week for a little weather and wine. And just remember, folks, if the Republicans don't know how to run the weather machine, it's because no one read the manual. News is coming up next, so stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sam Davison in Fort Calvin, who's taken a couple well-deserved days off. You can always join us. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Don't forget, Wisconsin is a same-day registration state, so if you missed the deadline, which was yesterday, to register online or by mail, you can still register in person on Election Day, but you have to have the proper ID. So go to myvote.wi.gov, myvote@wi.gov, and that will have all the information you need. Every vote counts. Every vote is important. Your vote is important. Be a voter. Everyone who's anyone is a voter.
Be cool.
He joins us every other Thursday at this time. He is the Journal Sentinel sports guru. J.R. Radcliffe is here. Good morning, J.R.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
We are excellent. Excited about the Packers. Let's start with the Packers. And that looked like a pretty good win on Sunday.
It was a good win. That was pretty lopsided, I would say. The Cardinals are not a very good team. They're okay, but they're not a great team. And the Packers made them pay for it. Three turnovers, you know, three fumble recoveries. So that certainly helped Green Bay's cause. The Cardinals committed a million penalties. So I don't know if you can fully say the Packers, you know, the Packers put it all on the Cardinals. They also hurt themselves quite a bit, but it was still a really good showing. A lot of receivers got involved. That's exactly, I think, what you want from the Packers when they're clicking at their best. You've got nine different guys who caught a ball. Jordan Love was spreading the wealth. Romeo Doubs caught a couple touchdowns after he'd been suspended for a game. So that was a really good thing. And this is just, even if it's not like top shelf, everything you could hope for with a Packers game, it was really close. It was a lopsided victory. And they should really be able to keep this Houston game on Sunday will be really tough, but they really should. They should win that one too. They should beat Jacksonville after that. Like, they should be on a roll at this point. And it kind of looks like they are clicking into gear a little bit.
I really like the idea of him trying different receivers, because Aaron Rodgers always had just his faves, right? And that, you know, these were his boys, and that's where he went. And I just think it's good. It's got to be good for the team, and it's certainly got to be good for morale.
Yeah, this was said a lot last year that this couldn't, what they did last year could not have happened with Aaron Rodgers, not just because Jordan Love might actually be a better quarterback last year than Aaron Rodgers already, which I think was arguable, but it's that he didn't have those preconceptions about which guys he absolutely had to throw the ball to. He was throwing the ball to everybody, and they were all young, and they all made mistakes, and they all made mistakes together. The first half of the season was pretty, you know, up and down, I would say. And then by the end, they kind of had it all figured out. Jaden Reed especially is he's really a star. Like he's a slot receiver, but he's the best of the lot. And he was able to develop really quickly. And you're just seeing it again this year. He's not afraid to throw the ball to a guy like Ben Sims, the backup tight end who was filling in a little bit because Luke Musgrave was hurt, had a really big gain against the Cardinals. You know, he will use everybody. And then you got the other guy in New York holding press conferences talking about how Mike Williams ran the wrong route and that's why the last pass was intercepted and that's why the Jets lost the game. You don't have any of that in Green Bay. So very refreshing, very different.
Well, and since you all brought it up, I wasn't going to bring up A-Rod, but, you know, A-Raj. I mean, it pretty tumultuous stuff happening over in the Jets, which is their coach got fired. And, I mean, and that's following that really now classic little snippet of video where coach goes to congratulate Aaron or just show Aaron human emotions and Aaron pushes him away and people were like, the clock's ticking on this guy and now he's gone.
Yeah, that's it. Just seems to be the Aaron Rodgers show in New York. No secret. I mean, that's what they brought him in for. They brought him in to be the you know, the difference for the New York Jets, and you can't do anything about the injury he suffered last year, but this is still very much his operation. And if he doesn't like Robert Saleh, it should be noted that Robert Saleh is a defensive coach and the Jets defense is amazing. They're really, really good. They're one of the five best in the NFL. The problem was not what Robert Saleh is good at. So getting rid of him and moving defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich to the head coaching position, now you've taken the D coordinator out of what he has been doing well, making him head coach. They traded for Devontae Adams, of course, so that's going to be a whole new element.
Oh, it's like a reunion, basically. Adams. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, one of, what is it, eight former Packers now that have played for the Jets since Aaron Rodgers was traded to the Jets. You know, Randall Cobb, and even on defense, guys like Adrian Amos, Billy Turner on the offensive line. There have been so many guys cycling through New York. This is obviously the best of them. And if Adams and Rodgers don't work, that's it. No more excuses. There's nothing else he can do. It's Rodgers is the common denominator at that point.
Is it me or is he trying to create his own version of the Green Bay Packers, a multiverse Packers in New York, where he's like, just take all these Packers and put them here and I will do my thing. And if you don't like it, whatever.
Yes, a multiverse, except they're bad. That's the alternate universe. Very tough. Very tough.
I am so grateful that he's gone. I think I'm going to send him a thank you card. I seriously, I think he's toxic. I think he's a toxic person. And I am delighted that he's left. And yeah. Aaron, you don't ever have to come back.
Not only would Green Bay, I think, agree with you, the franchise to some degree, but they also got a lot for it. You know, they got a lot from the Jets in terms of draft capital, turned into some guys that are contributing now. They really made out like bandits. And it mostly because he got hurt last year, but now also, you know, the Jets are so committed to him that and it's not working. They're 2-4 and they fired their head coach. Like maybe they turn it around, but it's not looking promising. And meanwhile, the Packers are just like collecting their draft picks over here and turning them into credible players. So
The Packers got a lot. The Jets got a lot.
That's exactly right. Right.
They got a lot of baggage is what they got. Yep. J.R. Radcliffe is our guest. He joins us every other Thursday from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk all things sports. What was the final in that Badgers game? Was it like 56-5 or something? 7.
42-7. Yep. 42-7 against Rutgers. Yeah, and that's the second straight blowout win in a row. They crushed Purdue the week before at home, and then they went to Rutgers. And I think Big Ten people in Wisconsin who are just kind of only casually paying attention are just programmed to think Rutgers is a pushover, but they really aren't. I mean, that was a good team. Certainly a team that was at Wisconsin's level and even predicted to beat Wisconsin. You know, they were the host team, so that helps their cause. But the odds said Rutgers was going to win that game, and then the Badgers whooped them. So that was a huge outcome for Wisconsin. Wisconsin has just been really mediocre. They played two really tough teams in Alabama and USC, but even before that, they had not looked like the team that people want Wisconsin to be. Then they whooped up on Purdue, which is fine. Purdue's not a good team at all. They're really, really quite bad, just tremendously bad. However bad you think they are, they're actually a bit worse. But Wisconsin took care of business. And then the question was, is that something that you can extrapolate to other games? That's what they did in Rutgers. They go to Piscataway, New Jersey, very lovely this time of year, and absolutely dismantle Rutgers, which has the best running back in the Big Ten. It's arguable, but he's on the short list of the best running backs in the Big Ten, and they made him a non-factor. So now it's like, well, maybe Wisconsin's better than we thought. They have to beat Northwestern this weekend to keep this going. It's on the road. It's in Evanston, this lakeside makeshift stadium that they have, you know, on Lake Michigan. It's a really cool place. But they have to beat that. They have to beat this Northwestern team. And Northwestern has given them problems over the years. That can't happen this year, because then you get into a really, really tough schedule. Really tough schedule. And, you know, they need that confidence rolling so that they, you know, that they can hang with a team like Penn State or Oregon when those games come into Camp Randall Stadium.
I feel sometimes too, though, JR, so much like with the Packers, ever since the Favre days, you know, we had 25 years of suckage, and then Favre came along and everything was great for so long. And then Aaron Rodgers came along and everything was great. I feel sometimes like the expectations with the Badgers are the same. They were so strong and so good and so dependable for so long. And it's kind of that we got spoiled again.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, it's been 25 years now of not suckage for both the Packers and the Badgers. So you can understand why people are, you know, they have their sights set pretty high. Wisconsin, I think, got caught trying to transition into a new era with the name, image, likeness stuff, the money payouts, the shifting landscape, the conferences kind of coming together and becoming power conferences. It got to a point where Wisconsin had to act to get ahead of it, and they did by hiring Luke Fickle and moving away from some popular coaches, you know, guys like Paul Chryst, who had success here, and Jim Leonard, who I think everybody wanted to be head coach at the time. You know, they brought in Luke Fickle with the idea that this needs to be like, they need to think bigger, because the whole landscape is bigger and scarier and harder to compete in. And, you know, there was just a lot of buzz around last year's team, and it didn't work out. They weren't markedly better. It's still a really long transition period. Like, you could see 3 to 4 years have to go by before Luke Fickle's, you know, sort of the claws of what he and his coaching staff are doing really sink into this program. I think everybody thought it would get going a little bit sooner. This could be that turning point. You know, it's only year two. They started out slowly, but this could be the point where they really hit another gear. And if they can threaten some of these powerhouses down the stretch, people are going to start feeling really, really good about Wisconsin again, and how, you know, their ability to compete in this big Ten, you know, this supersized Big Ten that we have.
We're talking sports with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe. Let's move on to the Bucks, because that gets underway next week.
Yes, October 23rd is opening day.
Such a short, distance between the finals and the opening, just the preseason of basketball. It feels like they get 40 minutes off and they're right back into it.
Yeah, I think the Olympics have a little to do with that. We had a little basketball this summer, so it wasn't ever completely out of mind. You know, the WNBA has risen to the point they're in their finals right now. So basketball is always on. I personally like that. But yes, it felt, it feels short for the Bucks. You want it to feel short because they're old. They're running out of time, like as dudes. So they need to get going now. Big year for them. I think they've fallen out of sort of the public consciousness as a threat, yeah, even in the Eastern Conference. I think they're seen as not one of the top four teams anymore in the East, or maybe like the fourth best team. But yeah, That's an unusual positioning for them. They've been so good for so long, and I think people are maybe getting a little sick of them. They don't believe in the Giannis Dame thing after a sort of so-so first year together.
One season, and from what I've heard is that Dame has really hit the gym between last season and this season, because he talked about a lot going on in his personal life when moving to Milwaukee. I think we believe he went through a divorce. So there's a lot happening. And
yeah,
he wanted to get back to a place of like athletic, you know, dynamics, and he's talked about how he has trained harder this preseason to be better on the court for this season. And it was one season, and they had a new coach, like they had so much tumult in last season that I almost feel like, yeah, it's fine, but let's start anew here.
I mean, I think, yes, that's certainly the way that Milwaukee Bucks fans hope is real, that you had a couple head coaches in there. You had new players, you know, and even Damian Lillard didn't have an offseason with the Bucks last year. He just kind of showed up on day one when that trade went through late in the offseason. So there wasn't this time to build a chemistry with Giannis and have two of the best players in NBA, you know, modern NBA history on the same team together all of a sudden. So now they have theoretically that time. They have that year of experience, and you would think that they would be in good shape. Chris Middleton hopefully will be fully healthy. He's been sort of still a little dinged up coming off another surgery, and I think he's going to be ready for the regular season, but they're slow with that. I mean, the bottom line is, if they stay healthy, if these guys, the three of them, Brooke Lopez, if they stay healthy, I think they're still the best team. I think they are the best team in the East, even with Boston in there, and maybe second, but still a powerhouse team. The problem is it's a long shot that they stay healthy, because they haven't, and they're older, and it's just asking a lot for those four guys. Giannis, who's about to turn 30, the other guys deep, not deep into their 30s, but as NBA players go into their 30s, that's asking a lot. But I do think if they're healthy. Friends, I'm 42. Like, I might be a little
adorable,
younger than you.
Adorable, JR. You're adorable.
Yeah. Oh, you kids. You kids.
I'm extremely elderly if I'm going to hang out in these sports circles, I am as old man as it gets. So we're all on the same plane together here.
JR, that makes me dead.
Giannis Antetokounmpo knocking on 30. Get him ready for that wheelchair in the old folks home.
Take him away now. Just cart him away. Yep. JR Radcliffe joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. You can read him in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I highly encourage you to do so.
And
thanks
follow
a lot,
him on Twitter.
Yeah,
it's a good follow on Twitter.
Absolutely. JR, we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good, guys. See you again very soon. Bye-bye.
Stay with us. We're going to wrap things up with this Shouldn't Be a Thing Holiday Decoration Edition. Don't go away. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jay Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Sam Davison filling in for Calvin, who's off for a couple of well-deserved days off. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just want to remind you, tomorrow night is going to be the one and only debate between U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and California real estate owner Eric Hovde. And our coverage will be starting at 6:50. The debate itself starts at 7 p.m. And then after the debate, our great civic news team is going to break everything down with some analysis. So that is going to happen tomorrow night, 6:50. Democratic U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, Tammy Baldwin, facing off against Republican challenger Eric Hovde. Our coverage starting at 6:50 p.m. The debate itself starts at 7. Also, a reminder to our news team, really does a great job. Sign up for newsletters. So if you listen to WISS, go to the WISS website. If you listen to WAUK specifically, go to walkradio.com. And there's a link there for you to sign up for our newsletters. And all the news is curated to where you live. So it's really, our news team has been growing. They've been expanding. They're doing a great job. So, like, local sports and local scores and all that stuff.
You know what else you can find on that website?
What can you find?
Jane's blog.
Yes, I have a blog now. If you need more of me, you can find it there. I have thoughts. And there's links in there, too, that are actually kind of fun. So you may want to click on some of the links. All right. It is 11:53. That means, Sam, it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Every day we wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. If you have a thing that should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. It can be anything. We try to keep it a little bit lighter. Most of the time that works. Monday, maybe not so much. But today is a good one. Here is the headline from Ben Hooper in UPI. Ohio officer attacked by giant inflatable pumpkin. we're talking a great big, we're talking the great pumpkin, Charlie Brown. This was an enormous, this is a car, bigger than a car sized inflatable pumpkin that apparently broke loose in this town in Ohio. And the dash, and we will provide this in our show notes so you can see the video because it's worth watching. But so we have this big inflatable pumpkin in the middle of the road. I don't know what, it was dark out, so I don't know what time of night it was. But this poor officer gets out, and I don't know if he thought he was just going to grab it and move it. It swallowed him.
It's just now a part of him.
It was like the blob coming over and taking over this police officer in Ohio. It just, he was gone.
Man, Ohio is having a tough year. Right? Just like a lot of stuff happened in Ohio right now. You know, that is hilarious. That is wonderful.
Yeah. An Ohio police officer trying to wrangle a runaway inflatable pumpkin in the middle of a residential road was attacked by the decoration and ended up engulfed. The dashboard video shows the Bay Village Police Department shows the officer arriving to find the runaway pumpkin in the middle of the road. He tries to move it, but again, it's like being swallowed by the blob, and he was just gone. Luckily, though, no officers or pumpkins were harmed during the event. Once backup officers arrived, the pumpkin was returned to its rightful owner.
This officer will never live this down. He could stop a bank robbery, a bombing, and like a train, whatever, theft thing, all on the same day. He'll still be known as Pumpkins.
Oh, yeah. That's Officer Pumpkins.
Officer Pumpkins. That's all he's gonna, to that. They're going to be like, oh, my gosh, look, a pumpkin's coming our way. I'm just kidding with you. Remember that time?
We will include this, the link in the show notes, so you can see the video of Officer Pumpkin and his encounter with the giant inflatable escaped pumpkin. I'm not against inflatables. I just don't think they should be able to attack people.
Well, I mean, the only big ones that should exist are in the Macy's Day Parade. After that, we should just keep, just calm it down. Calm it down.
People are going crazy with Halloween decorations. It's bigger in some places than Christmas, I think, with the outdoor displays.
Oh, yes. There's a place where I still live in Milwaukee in Bayview, Clements. I think that was the street, but like it's Candy Cane Lane, but for Halloween.
Oh.
It is, you are in it. There are huge displays. This is not something you put up in an afternoon. It takes you a while, and kids come trick or treating through, and there are games and music and everything is, it's really, really cool.
Well, if you go and they have a giant pumpkin, bring a pin just for self-defense. You might need it to ward off an escaped inflatable pumpkin. I'm just saying.
They're vengeful. That's a vengeful, vengeful food stuff right there.
Yes, you got to be careful. If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it in to Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. Sam, this was today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We have news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2. Of course, the wonderful Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4. Dom Salvia from 4 to 6 p.m. And then Pete Schwabe with Nightlight from 6 to 8. So keep it right here all day long. Thank you, Greg and Sam and all of our engineers and everyone across Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.